Good morning. This is Kim Grahn, CEO of Nokian Tyres. I'm very pleased to welcome you all to this conference, teleconference on Nokian Tyres' 2010 results. As usual, we have an audience here in Helsinki, analyst investors, and some media representatives, and I hope that we have a lot of audience also in the teleconference. The material which we will be referring to during the presentation have been published this morning on our website, and I'll try to remember to mention the page which I'm on in order to make it easier to follow the presentation. In the presentation, I will first try to pass on a couple of key messages about our operations and the market situation, then talk about a summary for the full group, and then, of course, comments on market, how we see the market developing during this year, and how our different, like, business units, our profit centers are performing and what we have planned for them. We'll be spending a lot of time on our biggest growth market, Russia, looking at what is happening in the marketplace and check what we are going to do in order to fully capitalize on the positive growth potential which is there. At the end after the presentation, we'll have the normal Q&A session, and I'll try to answer the questions you have. But let's start with the key messages concerning last year and also the message concerning the market outlook as we see it today. The market for us in Russia, Nordic countries, and our core market started improving quite strongly during Q2 during last year. We saw a lot of, like, improvement in GDP, consumer confidence improved, which led to a very good demand in our products, in our core products. Then followed up, of course, by a very strong winter, which helped to do an excellent Q4, and which also left the distribution quite empty after the season. So the inventory level is quite low when going into this year. The growth has continued very strongly, which means that we are going in to this year with an excellent all-time high order book, both for passenger car tires and also for heavy tires. And we believe that the growth will continue strongly all of this year and will continue also during the following couple of years. We increased capacity. The second key message is, of course, then how are we going to cope with the growth? We increased capacity during last year quite significantly during the year, ramping up new lines in Russia, adding to the utilization of the Finnish factory. But having said that, still, like, the demand was higher than our capability of supply during the second half of the year. But the capacity increases are continuing as we speak, and there's also quite a lot of investment going in during this year and also during the next couple of years in order to fully keep in line with market growth. So we believe that we'll be able to fully utilize with capacity increases the opportunities. The third important message has to do with raw material increases and ASP development. We all know that raw material development has been quite severe. All our raw materials have gone up dramatically during the last 2 years. We managed during 2010 to pass on the price increases, which we had planned, and in fact, improve our gross margin and raw material margin during the year. And so all the price increases we made during last year have been sticking. And as planned, we have also increased prices further and launched new products during the beginning of this year, and are planning to do more during the spring, and are planning to do something during the second half of this year. So we believe that we have a chance of being able to pass on an improvement in ASP in order to cover the additional costs which are facing us during this year. So those are the key messages in the presentation, and I'll move on to page 3 to 5, which is a summary of our like financial results and some information about the market situation during last year. Our top line, based on the improving demand and high demand for winter tires, improved quite a lot during the fourth quarter. As a full result for the year, we managed to increase top line by 32.5%, being 1,058 million euros. Due to the like improving gross margin and volumes, better utilization, we more than doubled our EBIT and EBITDA, and tripled our pre-tax profit and net earnings, and showed a quite good earning per share. The cash flow was also due to the fact that our inventory levels went down, and we managed to get all the receivables in time, lower investment, an all-time high cash flow, operational cash flow of 319 million, and significantly more than 200 million in net cash flow. So, which means that the balance sheet is stronger than ever. We are practically debt-free, and in a good position to move into the next phase of growth by investing into operations. And the board is proposing, on back of the good results, a dividend which is close to 50% of net earnings of 65 cents per share. And when going into this year, we, as I said already, have a very good situation. Our capacity utilization and weekly output is significantly higher than when we entered last year. Our order book in the passenger car sector is more than triple compared to last year, and more than double in the heavy tire sector, which means that we have good visibility going into Q1 and Q2. And therefore, we believe that this year we will be able to provide strong growth in line with what we have been doing during last year, and also to improve our profits, our EBIT. Then I will move on to page 5, page 7, in the handout, where we have the traditional EBIT generation over the year, and as everybody who follows the company knows, we have a very like different situation during the year, as 80% of what we sell and produce is winter tire, which means that the majority of our profits are made during the second half of the year. Q1 is traditionally the weakest of our quarters, which has to do with the fact that our sales mix consists of a balance of summer tires and some pre-season sales of winter tires. And then when moving on to Q2 and Q3, the mix and ASP improves as we move through the year. This year, we see very strong pre-season sale opportunities for winter tires, but having said that, we will see also the summer tire volumes affecting our ASP and profitability. But when comparing this year with last year, we could say that we are running and selling against our capacity. We are running flat out, full utilization, ramping up capacity, and everything we can produce at the moment is going directly out from the door to customer being invoiced. Last year, we had during Q1 a capacity or an weekly output of roughly 170,000 passenger car tires per week, and then gradually we built it up so that we ended the year running at 250,000 tires per week. Now we are starting the year with 250 instead of 170, which is a weekly increase in production of 45%. And of course, we are ramping up, and as we have new lines and also additional like manning and shifts, we are gradually improving on the 250. So we will see a quite significant output increase during Q1 and Q2. Then in Q3 last year, we were running already 220, but this year in Q3 we'll be already then producing from line 9, and at the end of Q3 also from line 10 in Russia, which means that our weekly output during this year will grow from, we started with 250 and will end the year by more than 300,000 units, passenger car types being produced. And as we stated in our outlook, we are looking to increase our capacity in totally in manufacturing, both heavy tires and also passenger car tires, by more than 30%. And we are on stream for doing it. So when going in, we have higher output, higher sales, higher ASP, and a better light productivity than we had last year. The cloud is, of course, the raw material. Our raw material cost during the first quarter this year will be about 44% higher than during the first quarter of last year. But we have to remember that we were also increased prices quite a lot during the year, and which, as a summary, I would state that we will be able to grow and improve EBIT from Q1 going consecutively when going forward. To state anything very solid about the second half, or let's say the fourth quarter, is premature, as we don't yet know exactly how the market is going to behave and how the pricing increases, which all our competitors have already announced, are going to affect the end of the year. But presently, I'm very hopeful because the industry is in full utilization and passing on the raw material increases. Then moving on to page 8, in the handout, we have there a summary of our market situation on our core markets and the development in sales. And we managed to improve our market shares on all markets, showing very strong growth in all of our markets. Of course, Russia was by far the biggest, so we can state that roughly 50% or half of the growth during last year in passenger car tires was generated by winter tire sales in Russia. And what is also perhaps worth noting is that instead of having Russia and Scandinavia, we now, due to the good development also in Central Europe, have 3 feet instead of one or two. As roughly one-third of the business comes from the Nordic countries, one from Russia CIS, and one from Central Europe, and all these are growing with good profits. In Nordic countries, we managed, the market was growing in the ballpark of 10% as in volume terms. Our market share, when combining summer and winter tires, increased from roughly 25% to 28%, so quite a significant improvement. And both summer tires and winter tires recorded increases in market share. Our market share in winter tires in the total Nordic area is went up from roughly 32% to 34% units. In Russia, we increased sales by almost 80% when the market was growing 35%. Which means that we increased our market share significantly, and we are now the market leader not only in the premium but also in the standard sector, as we are now operating with two brands, Nokian and Nordman, and we are now the combined market leader in the A and B segments, both of them. Central Europe, very strong growth, and in the handout material in the appendix you will see the development of that. Of course, our market share is not that significant, but we are growing very strongly in that market area. North America, unfortunately, we did not have enough capacity to supply, so we opted to supply to Central Europe and the core markets instead. Then I will move on to page 9, where we have the raw material development. And as I already stated, it's a very dramatic change since 2009, where our raw materials have been increasing quite a lot during these couple of years. The raw material cost increase, which we estimated to be in the ballpark of 8 to 10 during last year, actually was only 5%, which had to do with like good timing of purchasing of the raw materials. And I like to remind you that cost comes with a delay compared to the pricing, which you see on a daily basis. And we managed actually to be proactive in pricing and improving the mix, which helped to improve the situation. But having said that, we estimate that the full year-to-year change in raw material is going to be in the ballpark of 25 to 28%, which means that in order to maintain raw material margin, we need a price or an ASP improvement on an annual basis of 7%. And it's a tough target, of course, but we are working for it, and I believe that it's possible to achieve. Of course, I'm always optimistic when looking at our opportunities, but the indications are there that the price increases are sticking, and of course, what helps our case is that those markets where we have higher ASP, especially Russia and Nordic countries, are growing and helping to improve the mix simultaneously. Then I will move on to cash flow and our CapEx side, pages 12 and 13. I already stated that the cash flow was excellent. Part of that had to do with the fact that our investment during last year were not that big. It was mainly maintenance investment and then taking two additional lines into production, which had some like CapEx effect. Now, when going into this year, we are starting a new phase of investments in order to secure our capacity growth for the coming years. You may remember that I've always stated that our long-term plans are the same, have been the same since 95, which is doubling top line and more than doubling EBIT during the next 5 years. So that's been a mantra which we have been following. And as we are running full speed, we need to like do additional investment. We have the lines 9 and 10 in the pipeline. Our total CapEx for next year will be in the ballpark of 120 million. 120 million is the guidance. It could be slightly more. It could be up to 140 million, depending on when we start the next phase in expanding the capacity, building the so-called third factory. Our investment this year will be Russia, about 60 million new products, and we are improving our ERP system, which will take quite a lot of work and CapEx, and of course normal like franchising openings for the Vianor chain. We have been working and the market have been already discussing our third factory, whether it's going to be Russia or something else. We have not given a statement of a final decision, but I can tell you that we are very close in final stages of making it, and you can expect to hear something from us during spring on that issue, which means that we would be looking at doing a similar growth path, which we have done in the past, which is building a platform for, let's say, 5 to 6 million passenger car tires with an investment in the ballpark of 200 million euros starting at the end of this year. The location, well, it's not difficult to guess where it's going to be, but we have still a couple of options left, and we are in basically negotiations with authorities concerning incentive package and so on. So when all those have been closed, we'll be telling you where we are going to be doing it. The cash flow, by the way, improved, of course, also due to the fact that our net working capital rotation improved quite a lot compared to the previous year. When looking at this year cash flow, of course, it will be affected by improving results, on one side, but then also higher, more than double investment compared to this year. Our depreciation is now running roughly at 70 million, which means that we are investing in the ballpark of double compared to the depreciation during this year. And our inventory level is also a bit too low in order to like serve the markets well, which means that we'll try to increase our inventory levels a bit during this year, which will perhaps drain cash with, let's say, 30 to 40 million euros. But that is necessary to do because we simply don't have the service level which we require for the especially for the seasonal market. Okay, then I move on to pass through on page 15, giving the structure of the company, which is unchanged. Passenger car tires represents about 62% of top line, and it's growing faster than the rest of the group. Vianor, of course, we are not investing capex in, but growing through franchising. So the total share of Vianor's top line is going down in proportion. And when looking at EBIT, car tires generated last year about 90% of the EBIT. What is positive that it was not 100% or more, as we actually the other like operations did very little in 2009, and last year we came back to black figures in all operations and also all our units, providing strong positive cash flow, which I believe will be the case also during this year. Then on page 16 and the following pages, I'll be talking about the passenger car tire business, some additional info, and also about Russia. And for the first time, also, which is worth noting, we are now displaying what our EBIT margin is in the core market and what it is on other markets. So in passenger car tires, we recorded last year a growth of 35%, roughly 750 million. Our EBIT for the full year was back to about 29%, close to the all-time high levels which we've had. And of course, more than 31% during the last quarter, which is, let's say, that in my books, it's not yet excellent, but it's a good plus and a good position to move forward on. We managed to pass on average price increases and mix improvement, and you could say that out of the 35 million of top-line growth, roughly 5 to 6% was ASP improvement, and about slightly less than 30% related to volume increasing. Of course, we were also helped by currencies, the Swedish, the Norwegian crown, and the ruble devaluating or revaluating and helping the situation. The share of Russian production improved or increased, which means that our production cost, leaving out raw materials, actually went down quite a lot. So our situation is the same as before. The production of tires in Russia compared to Finland, we've been generalizing that one tire is roughly 10 euro cheaper to produce in Russia. In fact, last year it was in the ballpark of 12 euros. So we were up to 15 at some point and then after the devaluation, but last year about 12 euros more, which of course means that combined with the growth market in Russia will continue to invest. When looking at this year, we are going to increase capacity, as I already told, and we are looking for volume growth, which is significant during this year. We are looking for an ASP improvement of 7 plus in order to maintain margins and increasing productivity. So I believe that when moving forward, we not only during this year but also in coming years will be providing good results. The share of winter tires during last year of total sales went from roughly 70 during the crisis year to 76. before crisis, our all-time high was 82%, and our target for this year is to increase it back to close to the all-time high. And when looking at the market situation, I believe that that is possible and will be up to 80 plus again during this year, which should have a positive effect on our results. What we don't have any material in the presentation, but there is an appendix on new products. We are launching again a lot of new products. Presently, as we speak, we have the new Central European and North American winter tire being launched in the Finnish Lapland, with a lot of like distributors being present there and press. So that will come on stream. On top of that, there is a new all-season winter tire being launched for the Central European market, and also a new summer tire, which will be the top in as an energy or green tire. As a short story, if all Finns would change to the new tire which we are launching this year, Finland would save 110 million liters of fuel, petrol. So huge impact. That will be the top summer tire product during the coming season. Right, then I move to Russia, where we had very strong growth. The market, of course, improved dramatically, backed on oil, GDP. The real GDP growth in Russia was in the ballpark of 4%. The car sales, which is the biggest driver for winter tire sales, started growing in April, May, and during Q4, we had already more than a 50% increase compared to the previous year, and a 60% increase in December compared to the previous year. Of course, the numbers which we're comparing with are quite low. But there is a backlog of orders for cars and pent-up demand, and we believe that the growth will continue during this year, and that will be recording growth in car sales of 30%, going up from roughly 1.9 to 2.5 million units. Of course, the economy is improving. I'll come back to a couple of slides on that. When looking at our situation, of course, I've been saying that building a factory, any idiot who have money can build a factory by buying expertise and building it. So the key to success in the business on all markets, not only Russia and CIS, is of course the distribution and building a loyal and by committed distribution and retail and wholesale operation. And I believe that this is the core competence Nokian Tyres has compared to any competitor in Russia CIS. Vianor and our distribution network expanded further during last year, and we're continuing to expand it. We increased the number of Vianor stores by 76 up to 429 stores, and we are now operating in 260 cities, covering all of Russia. And when looking at it, what it really means is that in 9 time zones, we can reach the season within hours compared to like shipping it through big wholesalers in Moscow, being able to serve the market, both the consumers and the retailers, giving them an opportunity to make money. What it also means is that when we state that we have a total personnel in the group of roughly 3,500 people, in the franchising chain, where we have roughly 800 shops, and in Russia 430 shops, Vianor shop, it means that we have roughly 4,000 Russian Hakapelita tribesmen selling our products in the marketplace. And this is something which our competitors today do not have, and I believe that we are going to continue to expand faster than anybody else. Our target for this year is again to add between 50 and 100 shops in just Russia CIS, continuing to build the network. Then about the factory, we have now, as I said, eight lines in production. So we ended the year with an annual capacity of 8 million. We are adding two more lines, with each of them having a capacity of close to 1.5 million, which means that we will be ending the year with a capacity of in the ballpark of 11 million units. And then after that, we'll start to renew the older lines, adding capacity to the existing lines and looking at the next phase. Then a couple of words about the market and the drivers. On page 21, there is a consolidation of the car sales and how that is going to develop. I already said a couple of words, but generally when looking back in history, car sales have actually increased with a multiple of roughly 6 compared to the GDP. And actually there is pent-up capacity. Officially, I've seen many different estimates made by various companies, and I think that the consensus is that there's going to be roughly 2.3, 2.4 million cars sold during this year. My estimate is slightly higher, and so is our teams in Russia. It has to do with the backlog of orders, the long lead times, and also the fact that the market situation is quite healthy. The all-time high actually was in 2007, 2008, when there was about 3 million cars sold. There's about 32, 33 million vehicles in the traffic in Russia. And if we imagine that the life cycle of a car would be 10 years, it would mean that 3 million needs to be sold in order to maintain the level. Having said that, nobody knows what the true life cycle at the moment is, and there is, of course, a lot of new cars coming in. All cars are delivered with summer tires and have to buy winter tires during the first 12 months. When looking at, there is now on page 22 an update on how we see the market developing. Our view has changed a little bit compared to the previous. We've increased slightly the growth of the B segment. We believe that the premium and the B standard segments A and B in volume terms will be showing a growth in both these segments of roughly 15% per annum going forward. When looking at the value of these segments, we believe that both segments in value terms will be growing with an average of 30% per annum. And as we are market leaders in both A and B segments today, and we believe that we can still increase our market share, and that could and should provide healthy potential for growth for some years to come, provided, of course, that the oil and energy and raw material prices are intact and there is no hassle with the banks in Europe. Then I'll move on to the heavy tire business and Vianor. Heavy tire business is also moving back and going to the level which we had before crisis. We said before the beginning of last year that our target is to go halfway from bottom up to the top level. We managed to do slightly better, recording a top line growth of 62% and from zero EBIT to roughly 14 million and as a total roughly 70% EBIT margin for the operation. We were not running full speed last year, full capacity, not before December. Now we are running full capacity and running the Finnish factory this year 343 days, 24 hours a day, which means that our volumes will go up more than 30% in heavy tires. And we are targeting an ASP improvement of 9% in order to offset the raw material increases based on the price increases we implemented during the second half and which we've done during the beginning of this year. I believe that it's possible to do that. It's going to be tough, but it's within the limits of being possible. And again, also in this sector, we see further growth potential, so we are looking at how to expand the capacity also in heavy tires for the next years. Truck and bus business, we have not touched on that much. The only thing I would say is that it's growing quite well. We are now up to about €40 million in sales, had a 44% top line growth, and it's also a very profitable business. It's in line. Actually, if you look at the charts in the material, you can calculate what the EBIT margin is. It's roughly in line with group average and also growing quite well and supporting the building of the distribution on emerging new markets. When talking about Vianor, there are two positives and let's say one negative. The positive things are that we managed to increase our network quite well during last year in areas where we targeted growth, and we came back to black numbers. We showed roughly 4% of 4 million of EBIT compared to a loss in 2009. And the biggest contributor to the profit improvement was not what everybody are believing it being the like winter tire sales. It, in fact, the biggest contributor is the increase of service sales in the sector, which is by far the most important development when looking at the processes and operations, not only for the equity-owned part of the operation, but also in providing services and concepts to our partners in order to secure the long-term profitability of them, as the margins in products in all sectors, not only tires, are actually going down. When looking at the chart, we now operate close to 800 shops in 20 countries. The next shop or new country being added to the network is Italy, northern Italy, where we are going to open a couple of shops during the first half of this year. And we have also Romania, where we are quite far already in order to like improve the network. We had a couple of new countries during last year. Perhaps the most significant was Belarus, where we opened during the second half of last year the first six shops in Minsk and the surroundings of the big cities. And we'll continue to do so when moving forward. And then as a summary, on page 33, repeating our guidance and the key message is strong growth, we believe will continue providing good opportunities. We believe that we can increase prices, hopefully in line with raw materials, and capacity increases we are definitely doing, not only to like provide enough capacity for this year, but also for years to come. Thank you, and I think we can now move to Q&A, starting with the audience here in Helsinki. So please, before asking the question, if you could state your name and the company you work for.
Sam Zorist again from Carnegie. A few questions, if I may. Firstly, the 30% increase in production capacity you mentioned for 2011, is that for full year, over full year, is it capacity at the end of the year versus capacity at the end of 2010?
It's actually, when looking at the production output, it's both.
Then in terms of ASP increases that you are targeting to offset the raw materials, do you see that you have any kind of existing legacy tailwind from 2010 or carryover from measures or price increases you've implemented now? And to what extent are we talking about straightforward price increases versus mix-driven ASP?
There is, first of all, when we're looking at price increases, we implemented two price increases last year in passenger car tires, 4% during spring and 4% at the end of the year. So that is helping. And on top of that, we are implementing price increases 5+3 during the first half of this year and looking at doing more if it's required during the second half of this year. When looking at raw materials, I mentioned that our raw material cost came with a delay compared to the price increases because we made quite good contracts quite early, and the situation will be, let's say, fairly not as bad as the price increases would indicate for the first half. So we've also managed to buy forward a bit for the first half of this year. But again, then the second half of this year will be a challenge, as it was during last year, and we need to like act now in order to be able to keep like compensating when moving forward.
Okay. Final question is that if you look at Q1, can you give us an idea of what the product mix will be in relation to what would be a normal year in terms of winter versus summer product being produced and sold?
Well, I would say that what is a normal year is the first thought that comes springs into mind. But when comparing to last year, I would see that the mix is going to be slightly healthier during this year than last year. And of course, winter tires are being slightly higher as a share. That is the estimate. And when looking at comparing with like previous years, I would say that if I would have to guess today, I would say that perhaps this year could resemble 2007 in sales structure. So now it's only for you to dig out what we did in 2007. Okay, any other questions from the audience here in Helsinki? I think we have Tom here at least.
Yes, this is Tom Skogman from Handelsbanken. Regarding the third factor, the potential, I know you don't want to give detailed guidance, of course, but if you just assume that you don't invest in Russia, what would happen to the tax rate? And the cash flow would, of course, be extremely good in Russia. And do you see any problems taking it out from Russia?
Well, I'll start with taking out from Russia. We have been already paying dividends from Russia to the Finnish company in order to secure dividend payment to shareholders. And in last year's result, we have already made a reservation for 10 million of tax relating to a transfer of 200 million from Russia to Finland. So and we have been now already doing significant like dividend payments from Russia to Finland without any problem. So that part is easy to answer. The second part, you've just given good arguments for investing in Russia. As we all know that gradually tax, which last year was running at 18.7, and if you take out the 10 million, actually at ballpark 14% as a corporate full tax, then it gives a good reason to continue investing, where we already have overheads and the logistics centers and so on. But as I said, you gave good arguments, but we'll come out with the exact decision when the board has decided officially what we do.
But how big is the tax shield at the moment? What would the tax person be without the Russian tax shield at the moment?
Well, if we would like have no tax incentives in place, we would be paying normal tax in Russia, which is 20.5% corporate tax, combined with what we are paying in Finland. So perhaps consolidated 22% in the worst case scenario. And in the best case scenario, let's say 15 or what we had last year, somewhere between 15 and 22, depending on that decision. But of course, the tax is not the only like argument for investing in a country.
Then I assume you manufactured a lot of winter tires in December, while you normally make a lot of summer tires then, and that means that you have not made summer tires in enough amounts in Q4. What does this mean for the Q1 mix, just from a quarter perspective?
Well, First of all, what is enough is a good question, and it's a matter of choice. We believe that the demand for winter tires is going to outrun capacity, which means that we need to be running increased capacities, not only December last year, but also when going forward this year. So, but the capacity is higher than last year, so we have a good chance of serving our customers in core markets well, and still increasing also winter tire sales quite significantly.
Thanks.
It seems that there are no more questions here in Helsinki. It was a long presentation, so you're probably tired. And we'll then move on to the phone conference and see if there are any questions from our audience in other countries.
Our first question comes from the line of Johan Eliasson. Please go ahead with your question, announcing your company.
Yeah, hi, this is Johan Eliasson, Schurö, Stockholm. I didn't hear what Sasse asked about, so maybe I'm asking some questions again here. But just on your outlook, you said strong sales growth for 2011, and then you said something in line with what you saw last year. So is that a fair conclusion, talking about the 30% sort of growth rate is what your target?
Well, our target is to grow significantly or strongly, as we stated in the outlook, and I can't state much more than that. And the rules here in Finland and everywhere else is that I can't give you a more precise answer that we've written on paper. But we are looking at stronger growth than the average of 15, which is needed to double our top line in 5 years.
Good. And then just maybe a question on how you see it. Obviously, Pirelli was happy to announce that they've put a joint venture in place with a Russian partner. How do you see it? I guess, as you highlighted, your key strength in Russia is really your distribution network. Is that your argument for maintaining and gaining market share still in Russia, also when the Western brands are entering in a bigger way, or how
well,
do you see that?
Let's first of all, like, there are a couple of like false assumptions in your question, so let's correct those first. All premium brands are already selling in Russia.
Yeah.
So the situation, they are not entering. They have been there forever, also Pirelli. The second is that Pirelli, you mentioned that Pirelli has made a contract. In fact, they have actually signed a letter of intent, which will be clarified in June. So there is no certainty of any Pirelli operation, manufacturing operation as today. And thirdly, our capacity increase of this year is bigger than the potential capacity of the factory which they are discussing. So
okay.
It's a combination of productivity issue and distribution.
Yeah.
So we have been head on head fighting with all the global companies on our core markets. Well, for the Hakkapeliitta brand, actually has an anniversary of 75 years this year. So it's nothing unusual. It's like normal business. And we are happy that there is other alternatives and colleagues, competitors in the marketplace. It keeps us alert and working hard.
And then finally, what's your current view on Russia joining WTO? Will that change these custom duties in any way, you think?
Well, if Russia joins WTO and when, it's a matter of opinion. I've already stated many times that I can't see any benefit for Russia joining WTO, and let's say an educated guess, having discussed with top-level politicians in Russia, would indicate that it's not like going to happen in the, let's say, foreseeable, at least near future. And also, even if it would happen, I can't see it having an impact on duties to Russia, as the duties, in fact, have been increased during the last 12 months. The minimum rate has gone up roughly with €1 per tire, as an indication of the Russian tire industry, the so-called C segment, trying to protect themselves against the Chinese. So I can see that disappearing.
Excellent. Many thanks.
Okay. You're welcome.
Our next question comes from the line of Niels Ferreira. Please go ahead with your question, announcing your company, please.
Yes, hello. It's Niels Ferreira from HSBC Bank. Just one question left from my side on your truck margin. It seems that in Q4 you were still burdened by too many contracts with fixed prices. Can you confirm that? And also, looking forward, can you confirm that all these fixed contracts are now renegotiated for the next year, for 2011 especially? Thanks.
The short answer is yes and yes. We were penalized in heavy tires by contracts with the OE customers. And yes, they have been like renegotiated and agreed with significant price increase in line with our targets.
Okay, so you are now able to increase the prices again every quarter, also on the OE side, or how does it work in heavy tires?
Our OE business is in fact only in heavy tires. In passengers, we don't do any OE.
Yeah.
Other than, well, we do some winter tires to Porsche, but that's all.
Yeah. So e-tires, again, the question.
In heavy tires, yes, we're looking at that, like passing on what, if there is need.
Okay. So we should expect maybe higher margins again in 2011 versus 2010, right?
Heavy
tires.
I won't be promising higher than the 17 which we have today, but we are working on it.
Okay, thanks.
We have no more questions from the phones at this time.
Okay, there seems to be one more question here from Sasu, from Carnegie. So let's get the microphone to him.
Yeah, just you mentioned inventories across the industry being very low. Can you give an idea of, firstly, what your own factory inventories are like for finished product at the moment? And is there any way to quantify what channel inventories look like?
Okay. Well, our like, if we talk volume terms, we came into last year with already a quite low inventory level, and that was reduced by more than 1 million units during last year. So we basically like at the after the crisis we had more than 3 million tires in our own inventories, and we sold out roughly 1 million in 2009 and another 1 million in 2010. So that gives you an indication of the level. And with the SKUs of roughly more than 1,000, it's not many per SKU, which makes it difficult to serve the market. When looking at the inventory level of distribution in Europe and in our core markets, summer tire inventory is very low because the ramp up of the industry started late, and which means that distributors and retailers were eating into their inventories in 2010 during spring. And then winter tire situation, of course, the market demand was quite high. Higher than normal because of the winter, and the industry were not able to serve the distribution and retailers enough. So we have also, in fact, almost an empty inventory situation in all the distribution in Europe, basically in all countries. And it led to some like odd situation where like the price level for consumers in retail, for instance, in Germany, in some cases were tripled during the high season. So a very like low inventory when going in all product categories.
Yes, hi, this is Timo from Deutsche Bank. One question regarding the replacement market and your view on the Russian replacement market. When looking at the historical new car sales in Russia, so basically those peaks of 2007 and 8 actually should with 3 or 4 years replacement cycle view now come to the replacement market. So what's your view on 2011 and 12 on that one?
Yes, in fact, it's a very good question because we expected the replacement cycle to start in 2011. In fact, it started already during last year, which was a positive surprise, and we believe that it's going to continue and get even stronger in 2011. So it might be that the charge which we made into our handout are too pessimistic. It might be that the car sales, increasing car sales in combination with increasing aftermarket sales and replacement of tires is going to drive the market so that we see volumes grow perhaps in line with last year, which was 35%. Our official estimate is lower than that, but it could be the case in a positive scenario.
Yeah, hi, Artem Beletsky, SEB in Shilda. Coming to your Russian sales, so you've been increasing your B segment exposure in there. How this mix should be developing in 2011 between Nordman and Hakka?
I believe that both, when we're looking at growth volumes, we will see growth quite much in both. So basically the package when going forward is probably going to remain roughly the same. And which means that, of course, the B-segment products, the Nordman, which is also now a significant part of sales, is diluting the total ASP. But both the Hakka Pelita, the Nokian, and the Nordman are growing. I would say roughly 50-50.
And the other question maybe, on Central Europe, you mentioned that your market share says is still lower than in other regions. Could you elaborate maybe what is your market share in Central Europe and what kind of targets you are seeing for maybe 2011 and 2012?
Yeah. Well, our market share, it varies quite a lot country to country. And of course, we have like the biggest markets are for us, the most important are Germany, Switzerland, Austria, Italy, France is growing quite well, and also the Central East European countries, the new CE countries. And our market share, depending on the market, varies between 2 and 12%. But in the most important markets, we are between 5 and 10.
And here, of course, we are talking about winter tires.
We are talking about winter tires. We'd have no aspiration to have a big market share in summer tires in Central Europe.
Exactly. Thank you.
It seems that we have completed the Q&A. Thank you very much for attending the meeting. See you again after Q1.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation today. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.